Let's chat.
Radio Disney talks to special guests from around the bay with something to say. Let's find out who we've got today on Let's Chat.
How's it going, Bay Area? It's DJ Shal here on Let's Chat. Today is Sunday, October 12th, and I hope that you're all having a fabulous weekend so far. I don't know how many of you have come out here to San Francisco to enjoy Fleet Week, but it has been amazing. Watching the Blue Angels fly is such a treat and one of my favorite things to do every year, and I'm so glad to see that the Blue Angels are back this year, flying high up in the skies of San Francisco. So hopefully you guys have been able to come out and take part in those festivities, because there's a lot more to do than just watch the Blue Angels too. We've got a lot of the ships that are in right now that you can go on board and take tours of, and there's a lot of other fun stuff that happens during Fleet Week. So if you don't have plans for today, head on down to San Francisco and come celebrate Fleet Week with us. Anyways, we've got a great show for all of you today that really affects everybody. It's not just for the kids, it's not just for the parents, but it is for everyone out there. So get ready, open those ears, and let's go ahead and get to it. So today I am chatting with Jennifer Bowles, who is the executive director of the Water Education Foundation based in Sacramento. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, doing great.
Good. Well, we're so happy that you were able to take some time today to be here on our show to talk to our listeners about water and what's going on out here in California, because I know that the Water Education Foundation, that is their main goal, is to really inform everybody out there about all of the water issues pertaining to everybody. So thanks again for taking the time to be here.
Oh, absolutely. There couldn't be a more important time to raise awareness about water issues right now. We've had 3 straight years of drought, and at this point, there really is no end in sight. Climatologists were predicting an El Nino for this winter that would have brought more rain to the state, but it is likely not going to materialize. And even if it does, they're saying it's going to be weak. So at this point, people are have dubbed it El Wimpo instead of El Nino. So it's kind of a dire situation in California right now. I mean, we have cities that are facing rationing. Santa Cruz was looking to extend its residential rationing on a month-to-month basis. That city only received 13 inches of rainfall and usually gets 31 inches. So it's a dire situation right now. And I think for us, our mission at the Water Education Foundation is to raise awareness of water in California. And right now, that's the drought and the lack of water.
Absolutely. And I do want to talk about the drought and what is going on here. But before we do that, I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about the Water Education Foundation, you know, what it is, how it came about, and, you know, a little bit about what you do.
Right. So the Water Education Foundation started during the drought in the late 1970s. And our mission is to raise awareness of water issues. So we have several ways that we do that. We have a website that is a great resource for people to learn about water issues. Right now we have on our homepage conservation tips for people so they can find out how they can conserve their use. So in addition to the website, we have a bi-monthly magazine called Western Water that comes out and looks in depth at an issue that you might not find in the regular media, the daily newspapers.
Right.
We also do water tours where we take participants out to the dams, the reservoirs, where they can see what's going on there. They can get an up-close and personal look at how water travels throughout the state. We also sponsor lectures, and we do a Water 101 workshop to give people a primer about water issues. We also, at that workshop, talk about the hot topics. So, for instance, we just had one last week in Rancho Cucamonga down in Southern California where we talked about the drought. We talked about the new groundwater legislation. We talked about the water bond that's going to be on the November ballot. We also have a project that we do called Project WET, and that stands for Water Education for Teachers. So we do workshops for the teachers to kind of explain to them how to teach kids about water and the environment. So that's another program that we have. So we kind of have a wide array of things that we do to try to raise awareness.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's just within the state of California, right? You cover the entire state?
Well, no, we also do some in the West.
Oh.
And we do, because the Colorado River, which starts out in Colorado and weaves its way through the West and along California out to the Gulf in Mexico, is a big supplier of water to California. So we also, for instance, do a tour on the lower Colorado River. We have a newsletter that comes out twice a year that looks at Colorado River issues. We do a symposium on the Colorado River. So while our focus is sort of on California, we certainly don't neglect the rest of the West because it's an important component to California water use.
Gotcha. I had no idea that the Colorado River supplied us with water out here in California.
Absolutely. I mean, you have the Colorado River Aqueduct that weaves its way through inland Southern California, and it serves, agriculture and a lot of the urban cities in Southern California.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, I think when people think of California and they think of the water resources that we have out here, you know, it's funny because you always think of the Pacific Ocean, obviously, is the big one. And out here in San Francisco, we have the San Francisco Bay. But you forget about the smaller rivers and lakes and the dams that there are all within the state. And now you just totally told me something that I didn't even know about the Colorado River, which is really interesting to me. But there seems to be so much water within the state of California as far as, you know, bodies of water, that it is really interesting to see that we are going through a drought. And I've seen pictures of these, like the lakes just drying up, which is really interesting to me.
Right. And so that's a common thing for most people. They don't know where their water actually comes from. They just turn on a tap and the water flows out.
Right.
So most people don't understand where the water comes from. And so we have an interactive program on our homepage of our website, watereducation.org, where people can click on where does my water come from, and they can understand, you know, where their particular city gets its water or region gets its water. Because in some cases, the water is going to travel several hundred miles via an aqueduct, pipeline, or it comes from the snowmelt in the Sierras, or it may even be local groundwater. So there's so many different sources of water, and that, so again, we try to raise awareness by informing people where their water comes from. It's not just a tap. There's a huge story behind that tap of where that water is coming from.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. The majority of us actually have no idea where the water is coming from. And it's funny because I actually just saw a story on the news yesterday, and it was about well water. Residents up in, I think, Sonoma County who rely on well water for their main source of water. And I go, wow, I didn't realize people still use wells, and you know, that they're, I guess, I don't know what it is, but they put something in the ground and that's where they're pulling their own water from the ground. I go, wow, that's really interesting. I had no idea people did stuff like that nowadays.
Right, right, right. I mean, the groundwater can generally, it's a big component of our overall water use. And in dry years, it can be, you know, more than half of our supply. So what happens in a drought is more people, and what's happening now is more people are digging wells and digging deeper wells. Like in the Central Valley, the farmers are hurting for water, so
right,
they're digging even deeper. What can happen, though, is we're depleting our groundwater resources, and we can also, in some cases, have what's called subsidence. So it shrinks those aquifers, and we're not able to, you never get that space back. So that can be a problem. You know, the ground actually can go down quite a bit, and
right,
it can cause all kinds of problems. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Jennifer, let me ask you something, because I had kind of heard about this, and tell me if this is true or not, but it's about the water cycle. I've heard that the water that we have today is water that we've had from, it's the same water from years and years and years ago. It's basically, we're not generating new water. It's the same water that maybe the dinosaurs had back in the Stone Age.
Yeah, and that's probably a good question for scientists too.
Yeah, right?
To address. But it is true, and also I think in this drought, you know, there are some water agencies, especially in Orange County, that are recycling water. So essentially, the water that is flushed upstream let's say in Riverside County, where the water that comes out of the washing machine is then treated and sent down the river, and then it goes into an aquifer there, and then they pump it back up for use for their residents and businesses. So it's you can see that it can be a very complicated cycle of our water use, but it seems like every drop is used not just once, but twice, sometimes three times.
And also the important thing to think of, too, is it's fresh water versus salt water, because fresh water is all we can drink. We can't really drink the salt water. And only a small percentage of water on the earth, I hear, is really fresh water. Is that right?
Right. And now with the drought, people are looking to desalinization out in the ocean. There'll be one that will go online down in Carlsbad probably within the next year or two.
Oh, wow.
But that's expensive water.
Sure.
It's expensive to do that process. There can be some environmental impacts from that. But it'll be interesting to see how well that plant does when it starts operating.
Now, with California being in a drought, what is the Water Education Foundation really doing to get the message out there? And what message are you guys sending to people? You know, obviously conserve, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, we're an educational foundation, so we don't have like a message per se. What we do is try to raise awareness. So right now we're in a drought. We think, you know, at this point, everyone should really be doing their part in conserving. And so on our website, watereducation.org, again, we have conservation tips on our homepage that you can click over to. And again, it's raising the awareness of how much water you use and what to do, how you can conserve inside your house, but also outside the house. For instance, many people don't know that at least half your water use goes to your landscaping. So that's an area where you can make great cuts there by installing low water use plants and things such as that. You know, in some cases, a lot of people have made great strides in low water use toilets, showers, things like that. But we have a whole list of ways that they can do their part. I think also, again, you know, in raising awareness of how much water people use, the other thing that we are doing is one of our partners, it's called Dig Deep. It's a Los Angeles-based nonprofit, just this last week launched, much like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, a 4 liters of water per day challenge, so that you can only use 4 liters of water to drink, wash, bathe, things like that. And again, that's to raise awareness of how much water you're using. So typically a person can use up to 400 liters a day or 105 gallons per day.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, David Henry, who stars in Wizards of Waverly Place on the Disney Challenge, is one of the celebrities taking part in this. And here at the foundation, we're helping to spread the word of this effort. And some of us at the foundation, including myself, will most likely be taking that challenge. And again, that's to, you know, and so I've already started thinking, how am I going to do this? And it really sinks in. How much water am I using at my house? And, you know, so it's a great, great effort, and we're happy to be taking part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's called the 4 Liter Challenge?
Yeah, so you can go on to 4liters.org website and sign up for it. And then you can use, so it has to be 24 hours worth, an entire day's worth of drinking, cooking, cleaning, and bathing using just 4 liters. So it's like 4 1-liter soda bottles. So my plan is to sort of fill up those soda bottles and sort of designate them for drinking and showering, or you know, not necessarily showering, just sort of rinsing off and things like that. And we'll see how it goes. But it's supposed to also be kind of a funny thing where people can share their experiences through Facebook, tweets, and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got to get creative, because 4 liters is not a lot. I mean, especially when you said...
It isn't, and it's been a challenge for me to think about this, how I'm going to do it. But again, it's a great idea, because even though I'm already conscious of my water use, this is going to take it to the next level.
Yeah, well, and you said people use how much on an average day?
On an average day, according to Dig Deep, it's 400 liters a day, or 105 gallons of water.
That is amazing.
A day, so for each person. And so, you know, the message is try not to take water for granted and try to do your part in conserving and to raise awareness of how you can conserve water at home.
I love that. And boy, you really got to get creative with that because 4 liters.
Yes, I'm already thinking about, you know, using dry shampoo and for the day and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of how I would get by with 4 liters. I mean, I probably would have to go without showering and washing my hair for the day, which is fine. You're right. Yeah. Dry shampoo. There you go. But
yeah, I think the only way I can do it and be accurate about it is to actually fill up those 4 liters and really kind of carve it out and for each use and see how it goes. So
that is awesome. And I love that Disney's involved with David Henry being one of the people taking the challenge. That is great. And for our listeners who don't know David Henry as his real name, he was Justin Russo on Wizards of Waverly Place. So that's great to see the little tie-in that we've got with that challenge. And I love it because it's all about conserving water. And I think could make kids and parents really think, what can I do? Which I love. I love when we have to give them the challenge to think about things and get creative with what to do. That's always the fun part.
I mean, it was interesting because with the ALS challenge, some of the people in the water industry didn't want to waste the water doing the bucket challenge.
Right.
I mean, part of the reason of doing the cold water splashing on you was to understand what those people suffering from ALS actually feel. But some people got really creative and filled their bucket with other things and you know, like one water district board member down in Southern California filled it with these little stuffed animals that they use to do water conservation education. And he just dumped the bucket of stuffed animals over his head.
I love it. I love it. I know there were so many of my friends who were getting challenged, myself included. And we were like, you know what? We're like, we are in a drought. It's such a waste of water. And so, again, it was getting creative on what we could do. I didn't think of doing stuffed animals. We did pool water. We went into a pool and the water was already there. So we just did that water.
Right. But, that was a great idea.
And probably not as cold as ice water, but it still served its purpose.
Right. Exactly.
No, I love that. That is great. And the website again for that was
4liters.org, and it's the number 4, so 4liters.org.
I love that. And that's just for the entire month of October, or is that just
an
ongoing thing?
Yeah, they're doing it for October. They launched it October 6th, and they will be doing it all month. So check it out and sign up.
Yeah, absolutely. And see how creative you and your family can be out there and using 4 liters a day, which, wow, again, when you think of it, is really nothing when you say that an average person uses 400 liters a day. That's crazy.
Right, right.
Cool. So now let's kind of talk a little bit more about what the Water Education Foundation is doing. Because, you know, you mentioned earlier that you work with, there's a program for water education for teachers. And it's basically educating teachers to teach their students about, is it conserving water or what's the program all about?
Yeah, we're kind of the California coordinator for water education for teachers, so we have one staff person here who's completely dedicated to that program, and he's a former teacher himself. So he goes around and does workshops all up and down the state to help them understand how they can teach water issues to students, because that's a whole other level that you're dealing with as young kids. And so it promotes awareness, appreciation, knowledge, and stewardship of water resources. And they have classroom-ready teaching aids and things like that. So
yeah, I think it's
a full-time job for this one guy at the foundation, Brian Brown, and he's just recently won several awards for that program. So we're very proud of him and proud of the program.
That's awesome. You know, and I think it is so great that you are targeting the kids out there, because reaching them at an early age is so important, because it's something that they will take with them and remember throughout their lifetime. And at the same time, when you educate the kids, they go home and they actually in turn educate their parents about what they learned in school, which I always think is the coolest thing too. So I think it's great that you're reaching out to try and get
exactly.
to the younger
ones. I think that happened, at least for my generation, with recycling. You know, we learned about it at school and we brought it home to our parents.
Yep.
So it's kind of the same thing.
Exactly.
But we also have a program geared towards young adults and who have just entered the workplace, and it's called Water Leaders. And we just now are starting to accept applications for the 2015 Water Leaders program.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to get, this program identifies up-and-coming community leaders from diverse backgrounds. And we educate them about water issues. And there's the group comes together. They do our water tours. They study. We pick one topic a year. This year it was groundwater, which was timely because of everything that's going on with groundwater, both at the legislature and just on the ground. So we'll pick a theme for next year, whether it'll be the drought or or something else, we'll come up with that. And it's a one-year program, and they also learn to communicate with each other. They learn a lot other than just about water, because they have to work on a project together. They do water tours together. They, you know, have to learn to talk to people from other fields. So
right.
We have young lawyers, engineers, those type of people.
That's awesome. And you said you're just starting to accept applications right now?
Yeah, for 2015. Actually, we just put that in our newsletter that went out today. So you can find it on our website, the application for 2015. It's a very popular program, and we're very proud of it.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool. And what is the age range for people to participate in that?
Well, we don't have a particular age range, but it's generally people who have entered the workforce. They've been there for a couple of years and are looking to really focus on water issues and that type of thing. So we generally get between, say, 24, 25 to 35, somewhere in that area.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's cool that there's no age restriction on who can participate and who can't. Very cool.
Right.
So now, Jennifer, help inform our listeners out there. You know, what are some of the other things that are affecting our water? I mean, obviously, we know we're in the drought, so that's one big water issue out there. But what other issues does the Water Education Foundation talk about, you know, to the communities out there? I mean, obviously, I would think pollution is a big one with how polluted our waters are.
Yeah, I mean, our Western Water magazine that will be coming out later this month is going to talk about salinity in the Delta and kind of the issues associated with bringing more salt water into the Delta and the problems associated with having too much salt in the Delta. We are also involved in a groundwater conference this month. Next month we'll be involved in a conference with Berkeley Law, the Wheeler Institute. There we're doing a program on Mono Lake, 20-year decision of when the public trust doctrine was kind of applied to water rights. And so we really do the gamut of water issues. You name it, we do it. The drought is kind of overshadowing everything this year, but we're always looking at different water policy issues and different water issues. And when we do our water tours, we're looking at all kinds of stuff, from endangered species issues to tribal issues to everything associated with water. I mean, part of the foundation's mission is we are impartial. We're really the only impartial organization out there raising awareness of water issues. So we have members who are farmers, who are environmentalists, who are water districts. You know, we have everybody, every side of the table of the equation is either a member or part of our board of directors. We are much like journalists who just want to raise the awareness and from all sides of the debate, because water can be very contentious in California. And so most of the associations or nonprofits out there, a lot of them will have one focus, you know, or have water districts as members, whereas we have everybody, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So is there anything else, you know, that you kind of want to talk to our listeners about as far as what we can do to help protect our waters or what we can do during the drought? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of information on the website, which again is watereducation.org. But in the last few minutes that we have here, any messages that you'd like to get out there or things that you think are important for our listeners to know about?
Well, I just think it's important for people to understand when they turn on their tap to understand, one, we're in a drought. So don't keep it on. You know, only keep it on as long as you absolutely have to have it on. You know, that's really, really important. And try to raise your awareness of where your water comes from, because that's going to really inform you more and give you more information about where your water comes from.
Right. And there are, I don't know if it's just in the state or if it's nationwide, but there are some laws out there about, you know, what we can do with our waters, obviously not how much we can use, but legislation really has gotten involved with certain aspects on our waters.
You mean the groundwater legislation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the recent groundwater legislation was approved, and it's basically to try to get people to to prevent overdraft, essentially overuse of those aquifers, and to have a governing body that kind of manages that water source, because that doesn't happen everywhere in the state. So it lays out a whole set of deadlines for every and key basins that they want to do first. And so it's just a little complicated, but and they're still trying to work out exactly how it's going to work. But it was kind of landmark for the state to actually approve this legislation and have it in place, because they tried to do it back in the late 1970s and weren't able to pass it. So now, you know, all these years later, we're in this horrible drought, and perhaps that's what sparked action on it.
Right. Well, all right. Well, as we kind of wrap up here, you know, again, we do want to get the website out to our listeners, because there is a lot of information on there as well. As you said, right now you have a lot of conservation tips on ways that people can really learn how to conserve water. And they're easy. They're not anything that's going to be too hard and too life-changing for you to do. Just simple things that I think people, you know, small steps that people can take that I don't think people are realizing how easy it can actually be to conserve water. And again,
oh, exactly. It's very simple.
Right. And so again, the website is watereducation.org. And there's a lot of things you can kind of go around on the website and look up on there. I did it myself, was surfing the website, looking at all types of things on there. But I do think the conservation one is great. And then, as you mentioned, you know, Water Education for Teachers, there's that program. And then there's also the Young Adults program that you guys are taking applications for, too. Is there a name for that program?
Yeah, it is. So it is named after Bill Gianelli, who was a past president of our board. He's well known in the water community because he was the assistant secretary for the Army in charge of the Army Corps of Engineers during the 1980s. And he was also director of the California Department of Water Resources. So it's named for him, the program.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the information is on the website again. So it is a website that families can look at together. Again, really, we are focusing on the drought right now here in California. And so find out how to conserve, find the small ways, and then check out the 4-liter challenge too. Sign up for that. That's definitely something that families can do together. Work out a plan, figure out what they can do to use 4 liters a day, or at least for one day. I don't know if I could do a week of that, but a day I think is doable. And really just think about the water that you are using and think of ways that you can save the water, because that really is the message that we want to get out there right now, especially right now. Because as you said, the water forecast does not look good for us right now. It looks like no rain in sight for a little while, which is not good for the state. I love the sunshine, I can't lie, but we definitely do need the water. So
exactly.
Hopefully it'll come during the winter.
We need a lot of snow in the Sierras for sure, because that's where we get more of our waters from the Sierras.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the runoff. And we have not had a good ski season in quite some time, so
exactly.
But anyways, again, any last minute words for our listeners that you want to throw out there before we go here, Jennifer?
Again, I just think it's the simple things. When you're brushing your teeth, turn the water off in between, you know, while you're brushing, just turn the water off and then turn it back on when you need to rinse. It's simple stuff like that.
Right. Like we said, very easy, not going to be life-changing there. So Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I do want to give the website again, it's watereducation.org. Definitely check it out. But Jennifer, thanks for being here today. We really do appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Take care. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, everybody. That does it for us here today on Let's Chat. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope that you all enjoyed the show. And remember, conserve, conserve, conserve. Watch what water you're using and make sure you are not using more than you need to. Anyways, have a great rest of your day. Have a fabulous week. And I look forward to chatting with all of you next time. Take care, everyone.
Let's chat right here on Radio Disney AM 1310.